Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
They're not even on. Oh, they're on now. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Yes. Now, these two people, you'll be interested.
Oh, will I?
Because you know how I don't allow people to stay with me?
No.
I let them stay with me one weekend.
No.
Yes. Julianne's house was full, or she'd fed you a line, or something like that. But these lovely people flew up with a huge litre of Botanist.
Oh, nice. Well, that's why you'd be welcome.
On the Sunday, I think, watched me drank it, pass out, and go to bed. A while back now, so it's lovely to see you.
Hello.
We don't know you.
There.
Hello, but very nice of you to join us. Are you well? Yeah, okay, that's fine. That was very much move on, fuck off. Okay, hello, lovely lady over there. You all right? You're an employee,
yes.
I can tell by the fleece.
Oh.
You're not an employee, I can tell by the lack of fleece. can we shut the door for traffic noise, please, Nacy? Thank you. It's
just Thank you very much.
It's like Fifth Avenue out there. It's very busy, very, very busy. No, she's not going
to
shut the door.
I was complaining to you backstage. I thought I'd share it. I've started to go out and see shows now because that's what happens at the beginning. You don't see certain things. You wait a little while. And I saw a show last night, compilation show. The acts were fabulous. But honestly, I've never got over anyone as a compere doing rounds of applause as material. Why do people do practice rounds of applause? Have you been in these audiences? The old fucking John Hastings was there. I just saw him coming in. Wasn't it awful? The practice round of applause in between every act last night.
Do you know something, John? Why don't you just come up because you're here? Yeah, yeah, that would be good. I'm not having this. A round of applause for John Hastings.
John Hastings.
There we go. Hello, dear. How are you?
Hello, my darling. How are you?
Oh. Hi, everyone.
So just start. Go.
Yes.
Last night.
So we were at a gig last. Well, I was watching because I was with Alison June Smith, who we've had as a guest, and we were watching the show and you were closing it beautifully. But they compare in between every single act, that round of applause, practice round of applause, get it to a 7, get it to a 9. I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah, I just don't know. It's a vein in UK comedy know-how, which is before every act you have to the audience has to remind themselves how to clap, and I always find it very insulting to the crowd of like, you know, clapping. Show me if you can clap. And it's like this is already a desperate enough way to earn a living. Like, you don't need the audience to be like, oh, we'll take it up to 11. Also, what is 11?
What is 11 in clapping?
Yeah, this isn't Spinal Tap.
Well, I know some homos that have a clapometer, but that's to do with STIs. So some people aren't 11. They're actually in hospital at the moment. Sorry, I'm obsessed with monkeypox. I'm getting my vaccine today.
You are. Yes. You are not, really?
I am.
Whereabouts from?
Well, the monkeypox clinic. The monkeypox boutique.
What, is that another fringe venue?
No, it's the... Well, yeah, it's the big purple cow. And I don't mean can. What was I going to say? No, it's the bum clinic.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it's the bum clinic because it only affects bummers. Well, you might be affected because that's a tartan blouse, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Now, talking of homos, we had... And we're not a gay broadcast, by the way. It just comes in. No pun. We had Patrick Monaghan on yesterday.
Okay.
Can you tell us, did you have to go and be interviewed by the police after that show that we did on the train?
No.
Do you remember? He had to go to a station. Long story short, I'd done a show on a train. People were trying to say I was homophobic. Bitch, please. And
which? This is a strap in for this sentence. Which show on the train are you talking about?
The one on the sleeper.
No.
Yes. Do you remember that?
I mean, vaguely. I got pretty drunk after.
Yes, so did I. And I thought they would have been more angry at me for being a bit tiddly.
I remember we were very drunk and you told me you said I had 2 steak dinners and a date and he was an idiot and the steaks were delicious.
There you go then.
It's the only thing I remember from that gig. So please remind me of what happened.
Oh, well, they tried to, for whatever reason, the British Transport Police were given a complaint that I was being homophobic. And I had to go down to Carlisle to be interviewed in police circumstances. Patrick Monaghan said that he had to go into a King's Cross police station. He claims it was to be interviewed about me, but he could be a prostitute for all we know. He could have been caught soliciting. No, that was hellish. That had gone on for ages.
I had no idea. I remember I got on a sleeper train. We were paid in sleeper tickets back to the end.
Oh, I didn't get mine because there'd been a complaint.
I didn't get mine either because I didn't read the fine print and I had to call within 6 months. And I literally called like 7 months later and they're like, you should have called a month ago for this. And I was like, well, fair.
For anyone that has not been on the sleeper, don't go because they're fascists. And they will take your money, but in the morning, go. And you're like, I have slept all evening on a sleeve board. It's a disgusting experience. It's like Tanko.
I mean, I don't know what Tanko is.
Tanko was a prisoner of war camp that was a fabulous Sunday night drama back in the day. I have the DVDs. I like Tanko and I like Band of Gold, which was a documentary, but it wasn't a documentary. It was a Kay Mellor thing about prostitutes in Bradford. And do you remember Barbara Dixon?
No.
Anyway,
he's from a different generation, yeah, Donald.
And a different fucking country. Continent.
Yeah.
What continent are you from, you big racist? How dare you deny me my culture? Have you just called me white? Fuck you.
I have.
Oh, you bitch. You ginger bitch.
That's right. Technically strawberry brown, you're appropriating me.
Oh, honey.
Now, I don't know what these words mean.
Are you Titian?
Sure.
So, yes, Barbara Dixon was a singer-songwriter from Scotland that played Anita Braithwaite, the cleaner, and she only had one line, and that was bloody hell. That was it for 3 seasons.
I want to say this about all British culture before I think 2017 is the things you guys let on television is it just feels like there's a day at the BBC where it's like whoever gets to the desk first gets to have a TV show. And then a guy walks in and goes, we're going to film a tree slowly dying. It'll air for 8 years on BBC Two between 1981 and 1989.
My family.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it's just, although I'm Canadian and there is legitimate.
No, you hide it very well.
Thank you. There was a show called The Fishing Show on Global, which was Channel 3, and it aired for 20 years, and it was a guy who just went fishing and didn't explain fishing. It was on for 2 hours every Saturday afternoon. And I this had to be reminded of me, if you literally watch a guy put a boat in the water, the boat would change when the boat rusted out and he got a new boat. And then he would silently fish and you just hear the noises of the woods. And that was like, when people complain about smartphones, I'm on the smartphone. Do you know how boring the fucking 90s were? Like, come watch the man silently not catch dinner.
Did he cook the fish?
Absolutely not. He didn't. You didn't even see him go back into like out, off the water. At a certain point, he'd just go, "See you next week." That's it.
I'm surprised BBC Scotland isn't all over that because they love boring fish.
Oh, they do. What do you call Radio Scotland? Stour FM.
Stour FM. Yeah. Yes. Stour's dust fluff.
Mm-hmm.
Nonsense.
Sure.
Yeah.
It sums it up beautifully.
Talking of fluff, tell us about your show, John.
It is at 8:15 every day. It's very funny. Consistent crowds for the first time ever in my history at the Fringe. I get 20 people every day and then Pay What You Want bolsters it to 35 and then it stops dead.
At 35.
I don't know what's going on. And it's one of those things where the audiences are great, so I'm not going to complain about
Gesundheit.
She's whoa, German.
Yeah. European. What's this Pay What You Want thing, bucket bowl?
So at the Monkey Barrel, you can purchase a ticket beforehand. Please do. I need to stop stressing out. And then if there's any extra seats and you just show up, you can just walk in and at the end, just put money in the bucket or pop a fiver or a tenner on my card reader, and away we go. It's fantastic. It really works very well. There's a nice flow of crowd. It's the funniest show I've ever done. Please come see it. I had a very bad year. Jokes and stories all about that. I'm not going to talk about it now because I've been talking about it for an hour. Come see it. And also at this festival, everyone's doing their material from their shows.
Mm.
And I always used to do that. And then I realized, oh, that's why there would always be a part of every show where the audience would just stop laughing for a second because they've heard that joke. They liked it. That's why they're there. And so I just like, well, just don't do jokes from the show, and it makes it much easier. Top tip.
Absolutely top tip. Although, again, we last night experienced a very fringy experience.
Which one is this?
Was Evan in the courtyard. This was... It was. We didn't know what was going on, right? John and I were just sitting in the courtyard, having a drink, having a chat, blah, blah, blah. And then noticed another comic just at a table with about 10 people... And we couldn't decide if he was flyering or doing a show or what the fuck he was doing.
But there's more deep. This is a particular comedian. So, this word, it's insulting, but I don't mean it in that way. He's a chancer. He's a fucking hustler.
Oh, yeah.
He'll do a show inside of, like, a cat's vagina while the cat's having an abortion. he does not give a fuck. He will just... Like, I said to him so many times, like, you just should become a promoter and you will be a billionaire. Like, he's so... good at it. And we walk into this courtyard and he's at a picnic table. He either looked like doing the greatest job of flyering or finishing his show.
Yeah.
And it's this weird thing of going, yeah, of course you are. And he walked over and basically he had chatty people in his show. He kicked them out. The show overran. So he just told the audience, meet me at a picnic table and I'll finish my show for you. Which weirdly, I'm now like, he should call press because that's actually a great story that the Fringe would eat up. I'm gonna text him, something to do after the podcast. Mm. But yeah, it was a very surreal experience to see that.
It was absolutely bonkers, and also a memory from him because we'd been at Kendall Calling Festival and made a pact. that we would be sober buddies for the first 2 weeks. So he was like, hey, are you doing not drinking? I went, oh, I forgot. I fucked it up on the first day.
Yeah, you literally just finished telling me that you got super fucked up with your kids the night before.
So yeah, I failed on that.
Jojo, I like being your friend because I feel like you are the opposite of my mom, who I think has had one glass of wine in my presence in the last 37 years, and you're doing blow off your son's head. Just like, he's 18 now, you know what I'm saying? I enjoy the balance in the world that is created, you know, the force.
The nice yin and yang of it. It was fun.
Bruce, have you ever done cocaine off of JoJo's son's head?
No.
Well,
no.
You haven't lived.
Tomorrow.
I've been in a car with his mother. That's enough for me, seriously. I see some of the children. I can never remember their names. They work within the entertainment industry. Yeah, I'm just, hello, goodbye.
Yeah, I just call everyone Chief and roll with
Well, exactly. No, you should call everyone She. I got accused of misgendering people for calling
chief,
people She.
Chief.
Well, actually, I think that's racist to Indigenous people that may or may not be a chief.
I just assume that all of them work for the fire brigade.
Oh, do you? Right, that's interesting. You had to think about that, you lying little ginger bitch.
Certainly did.
I call everyone darling because I can never remember anyone's names.
God, I'm surprised you're awake, let alone anything else.
I'm on my Greg's coffee.
Do you just call people darling for that reason?
Genuinely.
Right, okay.
Because I forget people's names.
Here's my question. And this is a very entertainment business thing, in that you could be almost best friends with someone and have no idea what their name is.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
How long have you known someone and had no... I'm on, like, 10 years. There's a guy at this festival. I have no idea what his name is.
Really?
I have had, like, long, personal, intimate chats with this guy on the Meadows. I have cried in front of this person. No idea what their name is.
And you can't ask them now.
I have no way of being able... I don't know what their job is. I just... And I also, by the way, I don't think they know what my name is either. And I have publicity staff.
You have profile. You've got posters.
Trying to make that happen, which really shows the penetration.
But sometimes, if something works, don't question it.
Oh, that's a
Why would you want to know his name?
It makes me feel guilty every time I'm like, it is so great to see you,
Chief.
Do you think he feels as bad?
I think so, too. That's the other thing is I've never heard him go, hey, John. So I think we're in the same place.
It was funny because I was doing a gig and someone had turned up and I thought, do I recognize that person or whatever? And I went, hello, what's your name? And they told me and I went, oh, my God, you were the person that coughed all weekend at the stand. Get the fuck away from me. You made me sick. So I remembered who it was after that. But
interesting.
Yeah. Mm. I just don't think people should cough.
No.
No.
But they can't help it.
It's just bad manners.
Where are you going to get this monkeypox vaccine? Like, is it the bum clinic?
The Chalmers Centre.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which Armour Centre. Do you want to come? The company you
Absolutely
keep.
Absolutely not.
Maybe you just continue drinking the bleach.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes. Have you been to see shows? Jojo said she's been to see shows. Have you gone to see other people's shows?
I've seen exactly one show. I go at the end because sitting in someone else's show, I just sit there stressing out about my show. Just like, what? Why didn't I do that joke? So I just wait for the last week and then just see everything. And it's nice because it acts as a filtration system because I can dodge a couple of the bullets that are always out there. Because listen, we all have friends that we love, but we all have a bad year. And sometimes you sit there just, you're 4 minutes in a very good friend's show and you spend the rest of the 55 minutes going, now what
am I say at the end?
Compliment. Oh, what lighting, so bright.
I loved the way you walked on.
Oh, exactly.
That was marvelous.
I'm a big fan of what an ending. That's how you end it. That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. No, I've suffered some stuff and I went, I get what you're doing and it's impressive.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. Is it art?
You never want to hear the dreaded, how do you think it went at the end of a show if somebody comes up to you because you just think, you know, you thought it was shit.
I used to work with a director. We don't work together anymore. Because
would you like to name the person?
His name is Paul Byrne.
I think he's dead.
He died in February, unfortunately. I think he's a bit dead, sadly. And he gave me the greatest review of a bad show ever, which was I came out of it and he went, listen, you got 3 stars in Chortle with that show. And if they saw that one, it would have been 2. So that's a victory. And I was like, thank you so much for being paid by me to say that, you fucking prick. But yeah.
I remember you, Jongleurs Glasgow. I was having a shocker of a gig and it was absolutely horrific. This is a gig that no longer exists, thank God. But if you didn't do your 20 minutes, you didn't get paid. And I did about 15 minutes and just lost the plot and thought, go fuck yourselves.
So can I just interrupt? Mm-hmm. So when they weren't paying attention to her, she went, how dare you? You've no idea how hard it is for a woman. I fought for my place here. And this feminist rant went on for 7 minutes. So she actually ran over by virtue of complaining that the audience weren't listening. And I always think it's a fair exchange. They've paid the money. If they think you're pish, they're entitled not to listen. Don't think they're entitled to disrupt the show. Then you came off and I said what to you?
You said to me, I came off traumatised. And he said, you should have come off at 15 instead of padding it out with your suicide note.
Yes, because that's really what that was. And I did get a phone call from Donna on the Monday, as you often did. All right, darling, what happened with Jojo? I went, very heavy period. Very heavy period. Actually, talking of... sorry, John, a mid-anecdote. Thank you. It's just in the toilets here, they do supply feminine hygiene products. And the low-rent Tampax are called Interlude. Ooh. Which I think's lovely. I mean, I don't know if that's a pleasant interlude for a lady or not, but the fact that they're called Interlude, it's very Victoria Woods. Do you have anything to do with the purchasing of the feminine hygiene products? No. Well, honey, that's why I'm going for a monkeypox vaccine, because I'll take what I'm given as well. But I just thought, Interlude, don't be a stranger.
I've drawn the line at buying any more toilet paper in my house, so I keep nicking it.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming. Honestly, I couldn't...
Jojo, what a master thief you are, saying that on a recorded podcast.
In the building that I'm thieving from.
Are you having trouble with any kind of health hygiene products? Are you replete with toilet roll? Or
I'm straight white, mate. The world is my oyster. I don't even shower. I just bathe in my privilege.
Oh, wow. Are you a sharter?
Pardon me?
Are you a sharter?
No, a sharter?
A sharter. Yeah. Have you ever kind of broken wind and followed through by accident?
Like once.
Oh, come on, more than once.
No, but this is it, by the way, I have a story of shitting myself in my show, and here's something I'm realizing about Scotland, is that so much more of a relatable piece of material than it is almost anywhere else in the world. I don't know what it is about this nation, but you guys are brown town. Like, you all... I think it's just, there's a combination of the wetness and this, like, you guys have, in certain communities are not the best at preparing meat, I guess, because, like, it's the only time where I go, and then I shit myself, and there's an air of recognition and appreciation in the crowd, like, this gentleman's for us.
He's one of us. Yeah, exactly. One of us, yeah.
Google goggle,
maybe it's because we've got such a bad diet that we always follow through.
I think it's also you guys are just stubborn. You know what I'm saying? Also, yeah. There's no public toilets in this town. You walk into a steakhouse. Do you have a bathroom? Why would we have a bathroom? We're a steakhouse.
Do you know,
it is a good point.
And I speak on behalf of the gay community. It's a disgrace there are no public toilets. The amount of sex lives of people that I know have died because of this. The council have been very, very selfish.
They've got lovely woods, though.
But,
well... But some people can't get wood. Sorry, John. Mm-hmm.
So I'm from the capital of Canada, and they, in the 80s, made this big push to stop gentlemen from meeting in public toilets. And as revolt, the gay male community started having anonymous interludes behind the Parliament buildings, and that's now become the cruising spot of Ottawa. I feel that the Edinburghs should do the same thing.
I love the way you did a callback to interludes. So that those products are now gender fluid. That's marvelous.
Thank you, comedian, full time, no big deal. 8:15 every day.
Where are you?
Monkey Barrel Carnivore One is usually a steakhouse, but instead it's just now a venue
with no toilet.
There is one toilet. I would not use it because someone keeps taking very stressful, angry shits in there around 8 o'clock before his show. That is me. So I. But please come 8:15. Don't use the toilet. And I will see you at the show. I expect you to be there, my friend. You're definitely in my catchment area based on the facial hair of a Zephyr pilot and the hair of someone who definitely likes Rush. Now.
John Hastings, it's been real. Can we have a round of applause for John Hastings?
Thank you.
Thank you, darling. Have a lovely show.
Bye, sweetie.
Watch
your feet.
Oh, my goodness.
It is a bit of...
Shall we have our next guest?
We can. It's a bit of a death trap,
that one. Is it Tiffany?
One.
Tiffany Stevenson?
I think it
Tiffany,
is. Tiffany,
are you in the room? Come on, my darling.
Come on, lady, lady.
Let's have your interlude. Come on.
Tiffany Stevenson.
There we
Stevenson.
Go. Give her a round of applause. Lovely.
Oh, I'm loving this.
Oh,
a vision.
Yes.
A vision of summery.
It's
You're
quite
right.
a lot, but I like it.
No, it's good.
Fabulous.
It's good. I'm enjoying the ruby slippers.
Yeah.
It's a nice nod to your fans, the gay ones. Very Dorothy. I take it you're not on your interlude at the moment? You seem to be quite okay?
I'm not. I tell you, I'm pre-menstrual at the moment, so that means my mood is oscillating wildly between Sylvia Plath and Beyonce.
Okay. Right.
Can I just say, and I'm sure she's really bothered, that song is pish. Beyonce's song is pish, and there's a fabulous RuPaul meme that says, "No, honey, house music. Beyonce didn't save house music. House music has saved Beyonce." It's a dirge. Honestly, I sound like my 82-year-old mother. It is absolute nonsense, and Madonna has just gone in a direction that I cannot approve of. I'm sorry.
I don't think I've heard it. I think I may have heard.
I have no idea.
I'm feeling old now because I'm not down with the kids. Because I don't think I've heard enough of it, of the new Beyonce. Drop. Was it drop or would?
You know, he was talking about his angry stress drops.
Yeah.
This is kind of what it is, but to a Chicago house beat from the late 80s. It's hellish.
Oh, I don't know if we want to be reminded of house music in that era. Although all the fashion's back, isn't it? I see all
well,
the
90s stuff. Well, Moschino's big again.
Well, I'm wearing it,
I
yes.
thought so. I thought so. But that,
I like that you say Moschino, because I always used to say...
Moschino.
Yeah, mosh mate. And also I had a friend in the 90s who played... He was like kind of like... I was going to say semi-professional footballer. He played football. And he had one Moschino suit that he used to wear at clubbing. So it was the same one. It was like that newspaper print one in the 90s.
Yep.
So whenever we saw him in it, we'd be like, bish bosh, wash that mosh. Because you've only got one suit and you
what
keep wearing it.
What team did he play for?
Chelsea.
Oh, wow. You
well,
think
that's
there'd
quite
be
a
money
well-known.
There?
I think there was money. I think he just thought, I look class in this. But so we just called
was
it bish bosh.
Was this before Abramovich?
Yeah. Lots of my mates from school ended up playing there, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm West London, so...
Are you... Where about West London are you from?
Greenford. It's a lovely place, home of Kebab Pizza, Burger Pizza World.
Oh, nice. Like that place by Greyfriars Bobby, Pizza Paradise on the bridges, because
yes.
you get everything in there, don't you? How are you enjoying Edinburgh?
Do you know what? Yesterday was a really good day, and I actually... God... took to Twitter and said, today was a really good day. And I feel sometimes it's important to say that.
Yes.
Because you can sort of forget when you're having lovely, nice days. So So yeah, I'd forgotten how much when you get up here, it's four seasons in one day.
Mm.
So you can be having the best day and then an absolute shitter later on. And that, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I always forget that every year.
Every year.
I know that because I saw Jojo like on the first couple of nights we were at and everyone's like, oh, are we all out on the lash now?
Yes.
2 days in. 2 days in. Yep, we're all out on the lash. So I'm trying to pace myself a little bit because now, as I'm a bit older, my hangovers are like Sisyphean. You know, like by the time you push that rock to the top of the hill, it's time to get pissed again.
See, the thing is, I just don't get hangovers. That's well,
that is very irritating. I
don't get hangovers at all. That's why I'm always in everyone's phone is he'll be good to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's the trouble.
How have you managed this?
Practice.
Then?
Practice. I'm quite
maybe
dedicated.
Maybe it just never drops below a level and that you're...
No, I haven't.
Sort of are you always partially pickled?
No. Although I do believe that gives you long life, because look at the Queen Mother. So I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
It's like formaldehyde. What's the word?
Formaldehyde. Yes.
Thank you. Well, it's just maybe if you're just constantly pickled, it just keeps you in
but
a state
I'm not.
Of
I haven't had a drink for about 10 days, but I just don't get them. That's the thing.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
But it is. You're absolutely right, Tiff. It was that thing of just going... Finn phoned me yesterday and I said I had a hangover. And she said, every year, Mum, you say you're going to take it easy for the first week. And I go, I know. I know I do. And every year I mean it. But and then, to feel that's useless.
But it's only 3 weeks and it's only once
it's
a year.
Only,
so
it
you
might
as well
be the last
it.
3 weeks yeah. of my life. Now, I've done a very girly thing. When you had your hand out there, you've got a ring on your... have I missed a meeting? Have you and Paul got engaged? What the hell's happened to you?
Yes, we got engaged.
Is this an exclusive, Tiff?
This is,
is this your OK
when
Magazine moment?
Why don't I know about this?
Oh, he'll be excited when he finds out as well.
Does he know? No.
It actually, do you know what? I talk about it a bit in the show, but it actually, yeah. We've been together 15 years, so we went, I don't think I'm going to find anyone better, so we might as well.
Seal it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just are give you, up and give in.
Yeah.
Are you having a prenup? Because I take it you're the one with the money.
Well, no, he's doing all right.
Is he?
Yeah.
What does he do?
He's a director.
Of what?
Of what TV shows?
Oh, God, my family.
My family. just did Mo Gilligan's TV show, and he's various other things, films, whatever. He is freelance, so, you know, we both ride that up and down way.
Live on the edge, never quite sit. Well, never being able to say no to anything in case things stop coming in. That's the world of the freelancer, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So we're sort of both in a similar, you know what it's like, show business. It's feast or famine. So sometimes it might be me that's on the feast and he's, you know, a bit lighter on the work, or sometimes it could be the other way around. So.
But it works for you.
Yeah.
That's right. But were you not in America pre-pandemic and all that kind of stuff?
Yes.
What were you doing over there? How did they enjoy you, Tim?
Here's what happened. I turned 40, dyed my hair pink, bought a convertible, moved to Los Angeles, and I think if I was a man, everyone would have gone, well, that's a midlife crisis happening there.
Where
but I'm a
Paul
woman, so they
point?
Said, is
Brave.
It a breakdown? Breakdown.
Really?
Where's Paul?
Paul
was there. Paul was
yeah,
coming. Yeah, yeah. So he came and picked the apartment that I rented with me, which I rented in January 2020. And then left at sort of the end of February 2020 to come back to the UK to do a couple of things, and then the pandemic happened. So the plan was that we spend 9 months of the year together, so like, you know, if I'm doing half a year in America and half a year here, and then he spends half the time there, and then he's okay. You know.
We were talking about this the other day, that we think that's how relationships have longevity, is if you're never together.
Separate bedrooms, separate
bedroom,
houses.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, how long have you guys been together?
Oh, God,
Whoa.
Listen to them.
It's not a ringing endorsement.
Sighing through the memory of
are
whatever
you,
the hell it is.
Are you two together?
Are you a couple?
No.
No.
Oh, she well, seems
she
quite keen on the idea. No, you just look it. Right, okay. And are you the love child? Or are you a thruple? Oh, it's your parents. So you're a kind of thruple, a non-sexual thruple, hopefully. So did we find out how long you've been together? 29 years, so that is the warning on the cigarette packet. Do not go there. If this was a musical, it would be called Emphysema.
Oh, God. Now, did America break you, or did America Did you break
America? Did I break America or did it break me? Yeah. I tell you what, they don't drink out there, and that is very my alcoholic British brain cannot comprehend. Mm-hmm. Everyone's sober there. So and stand up doesn't pay. Like it pays in like exposure.
Oh,
you know, like so
because that
it's why they introduce you on stage. It's insane when you go on stage in America. They're like, they do like this whole list of credits, yes. And then they'll go, "What do you want?" And I go, "I don't know. Just bring me on. They'll decide if I'm funny. I don't want to go out with an IMDb page T-shirt. Do you know what I mean?"
But that's they do. They want you to say they've written for the Chris Rock special. They've done mm-hmm. this. They've also done the laundry. They've been shopping today.
Yeah,
they're just post interlude. So go easy on them.
Yeah. But that's always, I think, a fatal mistake in anything. If you build people up, even in this country, you lower the expectations
weirdly,
and then you go over above.
See, but they approach it in different ways. I've always said this. So American audiences go in. And so if they think that you're a credit means to them that you're legit, you're not just some person who's wandered on stage, right? And Americans go in with one attitude, which is, this is going to be awesome. Mm. And British people go in, this is going to be shit. Mm. It's what we want. It's what we need. It's what we deserve because we hate ourselves. And then if it exceeds shit, then we're like, well, it wasn't shit. Yeah. You know, so that's how it's all just set differently. And weirdly, I was like, no. In New York, they don't do it as much. But in LA, like, you end up having to do it because everyone else is doing it. It makes it look like you're some open spot who's just wandering on going, "Hello, can I chat to you for 5 minutes?
Mm. Oh, is Adele doing comedy now?
We're both Londoners, babe.
But the funny thing, who was I speaking to? And someone had said about Adele, who I don't know, that the whole Cockney bit is part of the persona of Adele. Because if you speak to Adele, sans mic or sans camera, she's actually, you know, she would sound like any of us. If you see what I mean? It's not Barbara Windsor reincarnated.
You say she's putting on an accent.
I've been honest. There, I've said, Adele, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, along with Beyonce, can you tell her that's a load of keek and I speak normally all the time? So, did you feel that you had to, did you cockney it up, even though you're not a cockney?
Well, I am a cockney.
A cockney from West London?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm a Londoner.
Yeah, but that's not being a Cockney,
well,
is it?
Well, it depends on if you think it's within the sounds of the Bow Bells.
Mm. And well, my mum has tinnitus, so I couldn't comment.
But I would say, because a lot of people think a London accent is or a Cockney accent is what you hear on EastEnders, but that's actually Estuary, and that a lot of that is Essex. So people always say I'm from Essex, and then I get riled up. I'm not fucking from Essex. So it depends. I think the meaning of that has changed. I think Cockney is just generally London.
Okay.
You know, right. Within the East End of London.
Who was the other chap? Who was the guy that used to be on Mock the Week? And he spoke differently off Andy something? Was it Andy Parsons?
Andy Parsons. He sounds like that all the time.
Oh, does he?
Andy! Yeah, Andy sounds.
Oh, I thought you meant Derek Acora. Is he dead? Did he die?
I don't know. He would know when he was about to go, wouldn't he?
Did he die? Thank you.
I know somebody did warm up for him and I thought he was an appalling human.
What, Derek Acora?
Just hearsay, yeah, apparently.
Well, I mean, you will have to believe your friend because Derek's dead. And I'm sure we've more chance of getting in touch with Derek than Derek did with the dead when he was alive because I think he was a fucking shyster.
What are your thoughts on Mock the Week no longer proceeding?
I think it's a shame because I'd like to know what's going to replace it. If they'd have said...
Country Fan.
Just spelt with a U.
Yeah. I'm a Cockney from the Highlands.
That is very good. Country.
So if they'd have said, look, this is what we're planning to put in, but it's been around a while. Sometimes a change is good. Mm. Listen, I enjoyed doing the show. I only ever went on the show once with another woman, I think twice, and I've done it. You know, I'd done it like 8 or 9 times. Mm-hmm. So it felt like it was changing. But then also, I guess the format is, it'll probably go to another channel or something. Dave seems to like to
hoover up the crumbs.
Mm. Yeah.
And
so
Remix
and redo. So it might get a fresh new, but you know, chance somewhere else.
A bit like Higginfee, Have I Got News for You. That needs a bit of a facelift or or something.
You a little bit of work. Go
a
vegan.
A wee bit of work, yeah.
When you see people who've had loads of work, they always say, I'm on a vegan diet.
Well, I remember Amanda Holden had clearly had a facelift, in my opinion, and if you did, that's absolutely fine. And she looked stunning on the red carpet, and they went, Amanda, what have you done to it? I eat real butter. And you're like, of course you eat real butter. And is that why you've got butter marks here, here, and here? She's a good looking woman. But I just think, I look at Paul and Ian, and they're like spitting image puppets that are covered in cobwebs, just banging away sort of thing. I think it needs to go on holiday and then come back.
I think with Mock, it, you know...
Oh, Mock. Oh, you can tell she's done it on Mock.
Well, I've never done Have I Got News For You, so... But you know, Mock the Week, it does help with like Edinburgh and stuff like that. Yeah. Lots of people come to see you at the Fringe because they've seen you on that show. So I think it's a really good platform for comedians. And my fear is that they take that away and they don't offer, because a lot of those panel shows are the way to, like in America, they have late night. We don't have those late night spot opportunities for comics to be on week in, week out.
That's
we have one
true.
Series of Live at the Apollo every year or whatever, which is like, you know. So if we had something, you know, at least if there's something weekly, that's a chance for... And what I liked about Mock is they only ever booked stand-ups. You weren't going, I've got to fight someone from fucking Love Island to get on this panel, or from Geordie Shore to go, oh, we've just announced a team captain from Geordie Shore. And you're like, are you joking? And then all the men are just comics. So I hope that it gets a home somewhere else. But also that they bring something new through that's exciting that people can do.
Do you think they should bring in a new host? Do you think Dara's kind of, is he needing change up? Or?
No, it depends where it goes. I think if it goes to Dave, then Dara will stay because he's done Go 8-Bit and stuff on that.
I think it's like anything. Do you mean, you know, when you remember something from the beginning and it keeps going, it kind of, you then hark back to how it used to be, and then it's compare and contrast. It's always not as good as it used to be. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think like anything, everything needs a reboot or a change about. And also, I mean, do you know what I mean? Stop using the same fucking 10 people over and over and over again.
That's
I mean, it is boring.
I think that's a real thing. I think, and what, I mean, TV's obsessed with youth. Mm. In a way that I find fascinating. Like, TV is obsessed with going, well, we've got to get the 20-something comics on. And you go, you know they're not watching TV?
They're not watching TV.
You do know they're not watching. Yeah. Like, so maybe just represent some, like, 30 and up, 35. You know, the TV watching audience is not the 20-somethings.
No, they're my age.
So I definitely think that. I think TV bookers are quite risk-averse. And I would like to see, I do think sometimes what happens is one or two people get a run and then you see them on everything and it's like overkill. And I think that could be balanced better. But also a range of voices. We can't, like, what annoys me at the moment is the discussion in comedy is utterly obsessed with whether something is left wing or right wing or whether it's woke or unwoke. And I'm like, how about some material funny or material class analysis? Let's look at class. It's, you know, that's the area that you're not going to, or just like how you get different ages, different class backgrounds, but you're obsessed with whether it's left or right, or is it woke or is it not woke? Like, look at the people you got on. If they're five people who went to the same school and they're the same age, then that's not interesting, is it?
No,
it is. And there's a real dearth of life experience within the people they're on. You know, pretty much they've had the same kind of upbringing and schooling, education.
It's all right, show. We'll do a show. We'll call it Of a Certain Vintage.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be
Last
great.
Of the Silly Swines. Something like that. No, it's funny you talk about walk, because I'm dyslexic and I was at traffic lights and there was a Chinese takeaway called Walk Nice. And I thought, does that say Walk Nice or Walk Nice? And it was Walk Nice. And I'm kind of done with walkery in its many forms, in all honesty. It's exactly what you say. Just go on and be funny. Stop. I don't understand why everything has to have a hidden meaning. Sometimes you can just speak pish and that's okay.
And I think so I would like to, what's really interesting this year as well actually is I feel like the comics are taking back the power in a little bit of the way, you know, like podcasts and stuff now, and that being the medium, and then you're seeing like people creating their own content and they're doing well off the back of that. They're not waiting for TV producers to come in and go, well, we'll give you a slot, we'll give you a go, you know, and those conversations, you know. So I feel like
I think the rules are changing, and yeah, absolutely, the power is getting
back.
But
I do think we could do with a proper stand-up showcase, because here's the other thing.
It doesn't involve Jonathan Ross, who's not funny and looks like the Joker from the original Batman. Why is he hosting a comedy show? Sorry, that really pisses me off.
Yeah.
It's not like he needs the money.
No.
We could do with one or two different, like, or just different channels. Channel 4 should be having their stand-up showcase. Mm-hmm. You know, ITV could be having one. BBC could be having one.
Yes.
You know, like the streamers are doing it because they're putting specials up and stuff. But, you know, that short form thing, they seem to have all gone, where you used to be able to go. They used to be like Stand Up Central, whatever, at the Comedy Store. I remember I did that a few years ago. And that was like just like 8 or 10 minutes of people doing 4 or 5 comics. That should be going on all year, all the time, and so that people can see stand-up. And maybe there's a fear because people worry about what stand-ups are going to say or something, you know. And maybe that's the risk of us.
But then that's the complete antithesis. I mean, that's the whole point of stand-up.
You should be, you know.
You should be worried about what stand-ups are going to say. That's the whole fucking point of it. Yes. That's what fucking irritates me.
I mean, Colleen Nolan's come out with worse on Loose Women, and that's daytime. Tiffany, we haven't even touched upon your show very briefly.
Where are you? What are you doing?
My show's called Sexy Brain.
Yes.
And it's
See it beating.
It's at the Pleasance Courtyard, so just down the road from where we are now. It's on at 8 o'clock. And come along. It's a bit about am I having a midlife crisis / breakdown? Am I becoming my mother? There's some middle-age health complaints in there. There's some stuff about my racing sexy brain and my ADHD, you know.
Hemorrhoids?
Hemorrhoids. Oh, do you know what? I did. They've been cut out the show.
Have they been cut out?
Much like I wish they'd been cut out of my life, but they haven't been cut out. Mm. I had one in my 30s. And I called it Trevor. And then when I turned 40, I got another one. So I've got Trevor and Simon now. So I do have two hemorrhoids.
Your pants. I'm getting mine cauterized next Monday.
Oh, you let me know
I've just
how
got
it goes.
The one. No, I will. I'll take photos.
Oh, lovely.
Give me a round of applause for Tim Stevenson. Thank you, darling. Nice to see you. Give us
see
a retweet when it goes
very
live.
Soon.
Right, come have a round of applause for our last guest of the day. Oh my God, in a tribute to Olivia Newton-John, let's get physical with Tom Ward.
Hey.
Hello.
Have you pump up the spirit? Have you just come straight? Have you come straight from the gym? Hello, darling. How are you? You smell delicious.
Do I? Mm. Just had a shower.
Well,
that's
good.
Nice. I'm glad. Because Tiffany was a bit whiffy. It's an interlude.
You look like you've just come from the gym, so I thought that was going to be a different experience there. I thought you were going to smell sweaty, but you smell delicious.
Well, I've started wearing vests.
Why?
I don't know. I just think...
Well, you've got the shoulders for it. It's a
good
look.
Ventilation.
Mm-hmm. It's a good look.
I just feel like my arms are quite nice, and that's about it. In the last week, my boobs have been more wobbly.
Moobs? Mm-hmm. Oops.
Yeah, but I don't know why, because I'm walking around, but you don't walk with your chest, do you? So I don't.
Oh, no. Well, unless you lead with it, unless you're a busty lady. We touched on Barbara Windsor earlier.
Yes.
Apparently she had quite small jugs, but she led with them, so you thought she was well stacked.
Heard a comic complaining to me, and I have actually felt quite sorry for him. A lot of people not wearing bras this year, which is fabulous, but very difficult to keep your eyes off. I find myself included, just there's a lot of bouncing boobies around the fringe.
Well, I think
this
that's
year.
Important that if you're looking.
I'm definitely looking.
We need women
good
to
God.
Do it as well, so that it's not just men.
Yes.
And
then
everyone's doing it, it's not just men.
Yes.
So thank you for.
Oh, no, 100%. I've always said you can't keep your eyes off a cracking rack.
Yeah.
Come in.
That's true, actually.
You can say it, love. I can't. I can't say that.
That's very true, because our flyer was in, and she has a smashing cleavage.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yes, so I'm surprised she's not doing more business with those jugs for us. So if there's any more of her shite, I'm going to hack them off. There, I've said it.
Wow.
Oh, no, you have to be firm, Tom. You know me well enough.
Mm,
are you still a vegan?
I am, yeah.
Yes, because I remember the first time I met Tom, a friend of mine who I no longer speak to, dead to me. She had a line of cashmere, won't name her, Lynn McCrossan. Hi, I married for money. Yes, you did, you little bitch. And we were up at the Scotsman offices and I said, oh, could you just fling on that card? He went, no, I'm a vegan. I went, I'm not asking you to fucking eat it. Could you just put it on, love? And he went, no, it's come from an animal. I won't have anything to do with it. I said, right, I understand. Because you and Carol Donnelly were vegan before it became
popular.
Yeah, I don't think I was frontline. I think I was 2015, so...
All right. Bringing up the rear.
Yeah, that's
oh,
not,
that's me.
Yeah, the real pioneers were like 20 years ago when there was nothing to eat. You know, now it's easy. It's easy now. 2015 was easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Carl's been going a lot longer.
Yeah,
than
but
me.
I just mean in general, you're not. You would never want to scream about it. You didn't lead with it. You know, like a good.
Yeah,
track.
I mean, I wouldn't have brought it up here, for example.
No.
But it's nice that, me in it.
It's nice that people know that we know each other. You see, yeah. I think that gives them a warm glow at home.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like I know you more than I do. I've met you maybe twice in my whole life. Seen your face online. But I feel like I could come round any time of day.
And you know something, Tom? In as much as I hate people, and I can't tell you how much I fucking hate them, you could.
Yeah, that's nice. Maybe that's because we don't know each other. Maybe if I came round, you'd be like, do you know what? Can you fuck off, please?
You know
that is great praise, because you barely let people in your car, let alone your house.
I don't let people within fucking 6 inches of my face.
No.
No. But we share a friend in common, Sindhu.
Yeah, I love
Sindhu.
Yes, yeah.
And she raves about you constantly.
She's lovely. I adore Sindhu.
She's very
I would say if in another time she didn't have kids and a husband.
Oh, would you?
Oh, hello.
Really?
I'd knock on her door some nights. Yeah.
Do you know, I wouldn't, because I think she's a wee bit selfish.
Oh.
Yeah.
We don't get to the top by being...
Absolute. Look at Lorraine Kelly.
Being sweet and thinking of other people, mate. Come on.
Yeah.
Why do you think I'm so slow on the uptake?
Oh, bitch.
Too kind.
I hear you. But that's the thing. We have been punished for being nice.
Well, or lacking ambition, or...
That steel of rod up your back and that kind of sharp elbow technique.
You need to be a little bit mean, I think. Mm. But you hate people, so that should be a start.
But you know something? I'm not competitive. I think that's the thing. I'm not that interested. And I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Very lazy.
You look like you have come. Are you working out as well? Do you go to the gym?
I do yoga. I do yoga.
Yoga?
Yeah.
That's like, very in line with being vegan, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah, the two go hand in hand. And I go swimming as well. I'm going swimming today at the Olympic pool.
Oh.
So if you want to come, if anyone wants to
is
come.
Is that the Commonwealth?
Yeah.
Oh.
50-metre pool.
I've never been in since it's been refurbed.
It's great. I love it.
Oh, it's a shame. It's another thing that died with the refurb, because the sauna was a hotbed of homo action, which I know isn't for you, Tom. And sadly, that has been flushed out.
Right. Well, I like it. I don't do it, but I like to know it's there.
Well, it's options, isn't it?
Yeah. I like to hear it. I like to see the kerfuffle, the odd hand pressed against glass.
Very Titanic. The scene in the car.
Yeah.
As they're going down. Boom, boom. Now, Tom, what are you discussing in your show this year?
I'm discussing, you know, personal identity and class. You were talking about class with Tiff, about the Cockneys. Cockneys aren't anyone from London. That's nonsense. Tiff, you've gone. You're wrong.
Right, okay.
Yeah, your mind's gone, Tiff. Come on. It's what people from Hammersmith are also Cockneys. No, they're not.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a general London thing. But you know something? She was premenstrual, so I left well fucking alone.
Yeah,
because
the
last thing I wanted her was having a bad interlude, if you catch my drift, and getting violent.
Yeah, like a true Cockney.
Absolutely. True Cockney from Chelsea.
Yeah. I don't like the way you're talking now.
Apples and pears.
Stand down.
You're a Londoner?
Yeah.
Yeah, which part of London?
I was born in Wimbledon.
Right.
But then we didn't have the money to sustain it, so we went to New Malden, which is like a suburb with pebble dash housing.
That's not Malden Salt.
No, Malden. It sounds similar, yeah.
Right.
Similar spelling, but without the O.
Ah.
It's an E.
Often is.
And what age were you when that happened? Do you realise you weren't going to be rich?
15, but I knew that before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I knew that before.
There was no expectation.
It wasn't plain sailing, which is good. I think good for a kid.
I think absolutely excellent for a kid. Yeah. I swear by the fact that people need to go through shit, otherwise they're dull.
Yeah, they're boring.
And they're dull and they're very sensitive and kind of, you know, that they microcosm sort of issues. And you go, oh, every time I see somebody complain about something or be petty, I go, oh, you haven't had enough shit.
You haven't been smacked about enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
My friend Rich is doing a show at the Pleasance and he was doing his technical run-through with the crew.
Mm.
And it wasn't going well because he has a lot of crew, a lot of tech.
Yep.
And at one point he said, oh, the tech went wrong in Manchester and I wanted to stab myself. And someone made an official complaint because they felt threatened.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like,
Do you know what? I can't even laugh at that. It's getting too much.
Yeah. Somebody accused Bruce of being misgendering when he was on stage, and again, the person was not doing their job correctly. So there was no lights, there was no sound, and there was no.
So
microphone.
All I said was, "Can you fucking twiddle your knobs, you little bitch?"
Yeah. Focus, which, little bitch. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Very ambiguous.
I like the gender was the issue in that one.
Yes. So the because he said "focus, little bitch," complained about misgendering
because they were tall. They weren't little, they were tall and they were misgendered.
Yeah.
Right.
So but they weren't tall.
No.
Right. So and then the height wasn't the issue.
They misgendered me. They said, he said this. I went, excuse me, I am she, they.
Nice. Yeah. As of now.
Absolutely.
Just to get a point in this war.
Oh my God. So someone really complained. Well, I was doing warm up on a show last year and we had a non-binary person who apparently one of the crew spoke to as he or she, and they actually just threw themselves to the ground and started like screaming and crying.
Wow.
So I was there with a lot of drag queens just looking, going, bitch, please, if you were in a gay club, you wouldn't survive the evening because if you think that's bad, wait until you're bummed against your will, because charges can't be brought for that in Gayland.
Well, yeah, bumming against will is famously frowned upon in most communities. I think.
Not in the Cockney community.
Oh, no? Okay.
No, it's because they're a very free and easy persons.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Yeah, a sliding door, rotating door of entrance.
That kind of thing, yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm not liberal enough for that sort of thing. I like the sort of romance. Mm. I like the slow build.
Are you
romancing at the moment,
I am,
Tom?
Actually,
the last time I saw you, you were very single.
Very single?
Very single.
Wow, what were the signs?
Manic depression. No,
oh, no, that's still there. That's still there. Yeah, no, the depression's still there. Love can't save you from yourself. But it's a nice time, isn't it? It's a nice old time.
Yeah. No,
been seeing each other 9 months.
Ah, lovely. Did you meet?
A gig. She's a comedian as well, so.
Would you like to name her?
Do we know?
No, I don't think I should.
Okay.
Also, my management have told me to be single so that the fans don't think they haven't got a chance.
Oh, of course.
How is it being single, this Edinburgh, you lusty Lothario?
I get so lonely at night, you know?
Are you just looking for a wee bit of a cuddle?
Oh, I just want a cuddle. It's not anything more, really, but just, you know, for 7 or 8 people just to be there every night.
Where are you on looking for love?
When? The show?
Where?
We're at 10:25
okay.
At Monkey Barrel 1.
Right.
Oh, nice. Another Anthem. Monkey Barreler.
Yes,
very
lovely.
Good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yes, I popped in for a drink because I realised that I get a discount.
And you like
because
drinking.
Because I'm a performer and I am drinking. Yeah. First time I kind of... Because it takes a little bit of a while to kind of realise who's here, actually.
Because
I don't know in the venue. I'm like, I didn't realise so-and-so was here. And then when you go into the venue, they're here.
Yeah.
So it's just beginning to sort of seep in
I know.
Who's here and where they are.
It takes a week, doesn't it, to realise who's here and also to be interested in going
absolutely.
To see a show.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of, oh my God, I didn't realise they were here. And then go, oh fuck, they're here.
Yeah, I know. That's most of the time for me. I see a poster and I go, oh God. It's highly triggering, isn't it, Edinburgh?
No,
just surrounded by faces. And go, oh, Jesus.
Oh, faces that you would gladly smash in.
Mm. It's the awkwardness of having to walk past people you wouldn't greet if you could avoid it. And then
absolutely.
You have a decision to make and you sort of both sort of pretend it's just awful.
I
prefer saying hello even if I don't like someone.
See, do you know something? I'm really straight up and down with people because if I see them kind of looking at me, I'm just like, don't bother. We've nothing to say each other.
Yeah.
Or if people go, hi, I go, no. And just walk away. But I think you're as well too. I said that to someone the other day. They came up and they went, and I went, we hate each other.
Yeah.
Why are you here? Mm. And you've gained a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm going to go out on a high.
Yeah. Leave
so subtle.
Leave them feeling. Yeah, leave them reeling. That's
oh, no, leave them crying.
Yeah. How dare you say hello to me? You're fat.
Exactly. It's like that scene in Ab Fab when she's doing Jeremy's shot. She's like that to the woman who's really thin. She's like, get out, you're fat. I thought, fuck, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That used to be my Grindr profile. You only work in a shop, you know, you can drop the attitude. And I stand by it. People need to get a grip because they're so insincere. They're so false. And the thing is as well, because someone went, no, I'm not getting the numbers in. I went, I couldn't give a shit whether you live or die. Seriously. Not interested. You chose this. Get the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
How are you finding your rooms? Because some people are being honest about their rooms. Some people are doing great. Some people aren't. Are you enjoying your rooms? Are you getting good numbers? What's occurring?
Yeah, mixed. I've had a couple of big room, mm-hmm. and then a couple of, like, you know, Sunday Monday vibe,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I mean, it's quite humbling when you come in and see 40 people, and then it takes 100.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like, you think, mm-hmm. oh, okay.
But that's respectable, that's good.
It's fine, yeah, it's fine. But you know, when you've done a few things on TV and you think, okay, now it'll be plain sailing, you know?
Yeah.
That's always the mistake I make.
That bloody, where were we? Tram lights.
Yeah.
That was humbling.
It was very humbling.
Oh.
Yeah, 1,000 capacity tent. About 75 people having a picnic, basically, all around us. A
couple of them sleeping.
Facing different angles. We were talking, doing a gig, basically. People were like, what's that sound? Oh, don't like the language. Have you gone to the right place?
And it was that thing. And there was you, there was me. Who else was on? Andre Fenson. Emmanuel was on. And we were all, and Matty Reid was comparing. And we were literally just sort of, you know, words sort of on the air into an empty tent.
Yeah,
and Joel Dommett was headlining.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd become huge during lockdown, his telly exposure because of the Masked Singer. And we just thought, God, this is going to be so embarrassing for Joel.
Oh,
there's
poor,
nobody
poor
here.
Joel.
Poor Joel's got
poor
a
Joel.
Nightmare. And we were standing outside talking about the state of the world and how we want to kill ourselves. And then just this tsunami of people.
3,000 people arrived.
Just appeared from nowhere.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
And I was livid.
You can always, console yourself that it's just a quiet area or that it's off the beaten track. And then 3,000 screaming women appeared. It's like, oh, no, okay, there are people.
There are people. They just didn't want to see us.
Yeah, they're queuing for Dommett. Yeah.
Where can the people see you? What time and where, Tom?
10:25, Monkey Barrel 1.
10:25 in the evening, obviously.
Yeah.
But some people do. I've got used to now going 10:10, and they go, no, in the morning, and you're going, did you have a stroke? What on earth would you agree to do a show?
And you are looking for, you are single and looking
I'm
to find
single.
That someone special.
I'm looking for someone special. I just feel like it's always in front of you, the love that you need.
Do you feel that this Edinburgh could be the time that you complete your own jigsaw?
Well, that's a lovely way of putting it, Bruce.
Yeah.
I think there's someone special for me.
I think the missing piece is here.
Yeah. But
I hope they've bought a ticket.
I'm open to quite an open relationship, so I, you know.
Well, I suppose when you're in one that's going quite well, the next one you want would have to be fairly tolerant.
What is the name of your show?
Anthem.
Anthem.
Ah.
Oh. I know, it's ambitious, isn't it?
It's quite out there.
Can't be whimsical with the title like that. You've got to have your balls out, haven't
you? That feels like you're banging on a drum.
Yeah, it does feel like that. So, yeah, it basically is. It's a lot about music and, big stuff. I try and talk about, you know, class and climate and sex and sexuality and the way that sexual identity has been weaponized.
Yes, it is.
I hear you.
The way that mental health has been weaponized.
Totally.
But I've been bummed and I'm mentally ill, so I'm allowed to speak.
Well, there you go. That's fine. I think there's a benefit for those kind of people later on today at 4. I'll see you there. Round of applause for Tom Wood. Thank you so much. Have a lovely show.
Tom,
just stay there, Tom.
You.
We're about to wrap up. Just sit back. Thank you for joining us. Different
thank
people
you very
every
much.
Day. Tell
us.
People, obviously,
yes,
enjoy
do.
The thruple. I'll deal with you two in a moment.
Mm.
I'll speak to you, and well done for sitting through it.
Thank
have a good
you
afternoon.
Much.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50,
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.